happy Mother's Day to all of the moms in the house. And also on this day at Landmark, we choose to honor all of the ladies in the building. So if you are a lady in the house today, we love you. We honor you. We want you to know that you are seen, that you are valued, and that you are loved. And as a token, a very cheap token of our love and gratitude, you get a pin and a bookmark on the way out the door. Barb says thank you. No. Even though it was inexpensive, please accept this gift this morning as you leave out of any of the exits, just as our appreciation for you being a lady in the house here at Landmark and a part of our lives. We do love you very, very much. This morning we have a special treat, but before I introduce them, I just want to give a couple of announcements, and that is if you did bring an offering this morning, the offering box is right here up front, or there is one on the information table in the foyer, and we thank you for your giving and your contributions in that way. Pastor, I saw you come in. It's good to see you in church this morning with your beloved. Would you like me to take my liberty this morning, or would you like to take it from me? Okay. He gave me the wave, which means I get to introduce these two. My sister, Sharina, is going to be speaking to us this morning, and my daughter, Abby, is going to be partnering with her, and they together are going to be bringing the message this morning. You're in for a treat, but I just want to say this too. I'm extremely proud of my daughter. She just graduated from her college courses, and, well, there's more. Yes. And she was offered a job at her externship in the field of her study, which she begins next Monday. And so we are very, very proud of you. I love you both lots. Happy Mother's Day. I'm so happy that you are women in my life that I can learn from, cry in front of, and all of that kind of good stuff. I love you. I'm proud of you both. Bring the word.
We will do our best. Yeah, I'm like proud auntie up here. This has like been her dream job. So if you have questions about what she's doing, just ask her. But here's the trick. If you're in need of assistance regarding your pets, just ask her. So anyhow, we are really excited to preach together. Fair warning, though. We've never tag teamed before. So who knows what's going to happen today? So we're just going to high five to start things off. And tell your neighbor, oh, Lord, get ready. Go ahead. Just tell him. All right. Have you ever read a verse in the Bible and thought, you know, that sounds nice and all, but how do you actually do that?
Yeah, it's like one of those cute verses that you see, like, on a coffee cup or, like, a sticker, and you're like, oh, I love that. But I don't know if I can really live that out.
Or maybe you read it and thought, you know what, that sounds nice, it reads nice, but that's just not me.
Yeah, that's one thing that I love about the Bible is that it doesn't leave you hanging. It's full of people that are living the Word and showing us an example of how we can be a light in the darkness.
Today, we are going to dive into one of our favorite passages in Philippians. Would you turn in your Bibles with us to Philippians chapter 4?
All right, so Philippians chapter 4 is one of those passages that when I read it, I think, okay, yeah, right, Paul, it's easy for you to say. You know, it's one of those that I'm like, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my situation. But I think it's really easy for us to realize that Paul wrote Philippians 4 while he was in prison. This was a prison letter from Paul.
And he was in a situation that he could not control. He was in a situation that he did not want to be in. It did not make sense to him. And he was in a situation that he didn't even know what or who he was going to be chained to.
He couldn't control what he was going through or what was going to happen to him. But what he could control was his perspective and how he was going to go about this situation that he was presented.
Paul, to us, is a real-life example of how we can shine our light for Christ, even in the darkest of situations. Would you read with me Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5? I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and then later we're going to be referencing the Amplified Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul is beginning to end this letter. He has tried to end it a few times before, but like any good preacher, he has four conclusions. So this is one of the final conclusions. And he wants these believers, that the Christians in Philippi had Paul's heart. This is one of the most warm letters we read in Scripture. And he loved, his heart just burned for this church in Philippi. But let's be real. Tell me if you can relate to this. The church in Philippi, those believers, were Christians in a very non-Christian world. That right there tells you how relevant this letter is for us as believers today. Paul wanted to remind them that their lives are lights, shining in the darkness and shining the way to Christ. Paul knew that these believers were being persecuted, but also that people were watching them to see what difference Christ has made in their life. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's one of those verses. Rejoice always. That's a tough one. What makes it tough is that sometimes we think that it means to rejoice in whatever's happening to us. But Paul was clear. He said to rejoice, say it with me, in the Lord. No matter what we are going through, we have so many reasons to rejoice in our Lord. This word rejoice, it makes a really good middle name for my daughter. But it isn't a happiness that comes from your circumstances. It is a deep contentment that is in the Lord and is based on trust in the sovereign living God. This word rejoice means I'm trusting in His ways. I'm trusting that He is working all things together. I am trusting His plan. Like Abby told us, Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And even he kept on rejoicing in the Lord. Here's the thing. He could have gotten upset at God for allowing him to be taken and thrown in jail. He could have said, fine. I'm just going to stop preaching the gospel. I can't be out there doing it. So I'm not going to be in here. What am I supposed to do? Talk to the wall? Talk to my chains? But instead, he took a different perspective. He took a different approach. It wasn't Paul's plan to be thrown in prison, but God had a better way. See, Paul lived his life to be a good example to what a Christian should live like. He was writing to the Christians in the city of Philippi who were being persecuted for his faith, and he was exhibit A. Once they came to Christ, they needed to change some mindsets, change some attitudes, and to take on the mind of Christ. See, when Paul was in prison, it is easy for us to read that and say, why, God? Why would you do that? Now we can't spread the gospel. But what did Paul say? If you read back in chapter 1, Paul tells us that he saw an opportunity to share the gospel with the guards. See, he had a guard chained to him. That is some intense one-on-one, face-to-face evangelism. And get this, he got a new one with every shift change. These guards were influential into the leaders in the political realm in that city. So Paul thought, I'm going to go preach to the church that's there. And God says, you know what? I have a better plan. You're actually going to be thrown in prison, but you are going to have the ear of influential people. And that's who you're going to share the gospel to. If I was Paul, you would have heard my mind explode. I never would have thought about that. And God would say, yeah, I know. That is a mind that has been renewed by Christ. So Paul, he had reason to rejoice in the Lord. Prison guards were being saved. So in these verses, Paul's encouraging the church to rejoice in the Lord no matter what. Why? Because God is good. And because God is near, and no matter where we are and what we may be going through, God has a plan.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and read Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and I'm going to be reading in the Amplified Version. All right, so it says, do not be anxious. Okay, for me, I lived about 9 years of my life being controlled by anxiety. So it was hard for me to read this verse. I would stop. Say, don't be anxious. Okay. Easy for you to say, Paul. Like, how do I not be anxious? This is all I know. This is my life. How do I change something that I've been living for 9 years of my life? How do I not be anxious or worried about something? But thankfully, that's not where the story ends. If we continue reading, it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Verse 7, and that the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, and that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. That's a powerful verse, especially if you've lived in anxiety. Wow, okay. For me, it was the way I was thinking about these situations. The anxious thoughts, I would let them control my life and the way I would do things. And this is a great verse. And even though it was hard for me to get past, do not be anxious, God's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to say, don't be anxious, because listen, in verse 9, the things of which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. I am not the source of my peace. God is the source of my peace. So I had to change and transform my mind to thinking, God, I can't do this. This is so hard. This is so stressful. I'm so anxious. I can't do this. I can't do this. God, in the gentle way that he can, says, you're right, daughter, you can't do this. But listen, draw near to me. I am the source of your peace. I am the source of everything that you need. I will give you strength. You need my wisdom to get through A, B, and C. And that's what I was missing. I had my problem. I know what my problem is. And I know I wanted God's peace. I don't want to live in fear. I don't think anybody ever wants to live in fear. But there is a peace that was missing. How do I get from my problem to living in God's peace?
And sometimes I think that's how we approach scripture, is we just throw our hands up and say, well, it's not possible. And what we forget is God's going to give us the missing piece to that equation. The problem plus something equals peace. And sometimes we get stuck in the something, and sometimes the answer is right in front of our face. You just have to keep reading, or you need to read it again. See, for me, my battle was fear. I remember having nightmares from a very young age. I remember being so gripped with fear, I couldn't sleep. It would kind of take away my appetite. Fear of all the things. Every time my dad or my mom and dad would go on a trip, I would be afraid they wouldn't come back. I remember crying in the car one time. They stopped asking me to take them to the airport when I was an adult because I kept crying whenever they got out of the car. And I think they felt like they were stressing me out. I wanted to take them because you know how your mind goes. If this is the last time, at least I know I said I loved you. You know what I mean? And your brain, honestly, the enemy didn't have to do much with my fear. He didn't have to do much with Abby's anxiety. We would do it ourselves. We would take us down that deep, dark hole ourselves. Because the one thought would just explode. Anybody else going through this, or is it just us up here? Just us, maybe two. Okay, we can start a small group. But That fear was just gripping. And I thought I got a handle on it. And then I got married. And that brought this whole new slug of fear. And then I felt like I got a handle on it. And I had children. And with each of our four kids, it was like the chance for the fear to just blow up was huge. But here's the thing. I would worry so much about all the things. I still remember, I've said this before, but I am getting older. So my dad said I can repeat stories when I get older. So here I am. I remember one night we had Logan, and I might have been pregnant with Jacob. I think I've been pregnant for 10 years. I'm not sure. But
And I woke up in the middle of the night just fearful. And I was trying to, like, say scripture to myself, and I was trying to read my Bible, and it just wasn't working. And so I woke up Jimmy, and he's like, "What?" And I'm like, I mean, dead asleep, snoring the whole thing, slobbering, whatever. And I'm like, I need you to sing right now. It's like 4 a.m, okay? He's getting, like, a really good sleep, and he's like, "Are you kidding me right now?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not. Like, I need you to start singing. I'm asleep. I know, but start singing. What do you want me to sing?" So I had my own personal karaoke machine there. I told him what to sing. He starts singing over me, and it was just a couple. I don't even think he got 2 lines out before I was just asleep. And it was just, those were some of the things that I needed. I needed scripture. I needed the times where I would sing to myself. I would need times where I would encourage myself. There were times I needed my husband to encourage me and to sing over me. But the fear was so real. And I would read, "Don't be anxious about anything." And then I would just feel horrible because I couldn't shake it. This passage in Philippians, so many commentators liken it to the passage in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, "Don't worry about tomorrow." And that word worry and anxiety, it means to divide the mind and to be distracted. I mean, isn't that what we know the word worry to mean? It just takes so much of our brain power that we can't focus on the goal or the task at hand. Worry keeps us, fear keeps us, anxiety keeps us from being able to pursue our calling with everything that we have. We waste so much time and energy worrying about the things that Jesus has already taken care of. I mean, really, he's already taken care of it. Here's the questions I had to ask myself. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Do you trust his word? Do you really believe his word? And of course, I would say yes. And God would say, "Your worry and your fear tells me that you don't." We have to change our mindset regarding worry, fear, doubt, anxiety, you name it, and see it for what it is. It is a distraction from what God has called you to do in this day and in this hour. Let's read Philippians 4, verse 8. If I can read it. "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them." Real quick, it's not whatever you think is right, whatever you or I think is true, whatever you or I think is pure. Guess what? This entire list is only the standard of God. It is what God has said is right. It's what God has said is pure. It's what God has said is lovely and admirable. So when the enemy of your soul comes and says you are bound to live a life of fear, you will never be free of anxiety, God says, "No, that's not true. Because my word says it's for freedom that I have set you free. My word says you will sleep in peace whose mind is stayed on me." So what are we believing? Our version of what God says is true? Are we actually believing what God says is true?
And that was the missing piece right there. Verse 8. That was the missing piece to my equation. So from living in fear and anxiety, I wanted to go into God's peace and all that he offered in that. I obviously couldn't do it on my own. I know y'all can't do it on your own. And that missing piece is verse 8. But verse 9 also reminds us that this is a thing that we have to practice daily. It's not going to happen overnight. Yes, I believe God could take away your anxious thoughts and your anxious feelings in an instant. But if he doesn't, He will equip you with the things that you need to get through. For me, that was the Word of God, obviously my family, and a therapist. It's going to be different for everybody. But that is your missing piece. And if you think about it, all of those things, whatever is true, noble, that's the Word of God. The Word of God lines up with all of those. So when you're in those anxious situations and you're in, you know, fear, and I know for me, I would say stuff like, you know, oh my gosh, God, I'm so nervous, what's going on? Instead, we're going to transform our mind to say, yes, God, I am nervous and I am anxious, but you do not give me a spirit of fear, so I'm going to trust your plan on my life, and I'm going to trust what you are leading me through, because what you have called me through, you will get me through. So yes, I'm nervous, but I'm going to put it in your hands because you have a bigger plan. And changing our mindsets to what Scripture says about us and about our situations, that's how we're going to take our problem, transform our minds, renew our minds to what the Word of God has for us. That's your step into living into God's peace.
It's true. And yeah, go ahead. That is some good preaching right there. And here's the thing. It was so funny when we began studying this passage. I know her story. I've walked her through it, as all of our family has. And what's so funny is over the last 9 years, how many times her and I have went to this passage and read it. And just a couple weeks ago, we went and read it again. And Abby goes, she's like, oh my word. And I'm like, what? She's like, okay, I know I've read this before, but look what it says right here. Like Paul says, and she read verse 9. She's like, he says you have to do it daily. She's like, oh my word, have I never seen that before? Like, that's it. Like, that's what I had to do. Like, that's what God, and I could just see her mind like exploding. But that is the beauty of God's word. I know she's read that verse before, and we've read it in probably 10 different translations. So I know she's read it in the Amplified. I know she's read it in the New Living, and I know she's read it in the NIV, and all of them say daily. But it was in that moment that God kind of unlocked and exploded for her one of the missing pieces that she had already been walking in. That is the beauty of the Word of God. We can't just read it once and read, you know, a verse a day and hopefully keeps the devil away. No, you got to be in it. The Bible says, your word have I hid in my heart. Have I memorized that I might not sin against you? Listen, the anxiety, does it still come for you? The fear still comes. But what a mind renewed does, it says, hold on, wait a minute. It stops it in its tracks. And like Abby says, you use the Word of God to do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Make that thought captive. You put it through the filter of verse 8. Is this thought, according to God, true, pure, right, lovely, admirable? No? Okay, then, bye-bye. You don't have to dwell on it. The thoughts will come, but that's why the Lord has given us the armor of God and the filter of the whatever verse, that filter to use to be an active participant in doing away with what does not belong. I am a daughter of the Most High God. The Bible, there's a verse that says, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. When I was younger, I thought that was the weirdest verse in the entire Bible until I grew up and learned how expensive cattle is. I was like, whoa, cha-ching, yes. Listen, God is your provider. God is your sustainer. God is your portion. And God has been our deliverer. This is the thing. We need to turn those thoughts, because the enemy, he doesn't want you fully devoted to the call of God on your life. And every single one of you are called. Every single one of you. And today is Mother's Day. Mama, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Stacy, we love you. Happy Mother's Day. For you mamas out there, in the house, those listening, those watching online, I just hit my activity for the day. Good job. Awesome. I'm going to go take a nap now. It was like buzzing on my hand. For you mamas out there, being a mother is a high calling. But it's super easy to forget that. In the mess of dirty diapers, the tantrums, making meals, like three of them, every day for the rest of your life. For snacks, also, because, you know, toddlers are bottomless pits that never get full. For the moments where you walk into the bathroom and instead of putting, I'm just going to be real, poop in the toilet, it's in the sink. For those moments when you're consoling one child while the other one's throwing a fit and then the other one's two are fighting and yelling and you just want to pull your hair out and say stop and put them all in the corner or a cage or something, but you know that's not right and you just don't know what you're doing and in those moments it doesn't feel like a calling. I'm just being real. But you know what God says? He's placed you there on purpose, for his purpose. However many dirty diapers, keep a tally, husband, it's on you, tag. I did 14 today. It's on you. For maybe those that don't have help, you've got a church here with hands that would get in the dirt with you. Listen to the moms out there. It is a high calling. And you have the opportunity. See what I did there? Paul was in prison and he saw an opportunity. You may feel like you're in a prison some days, but it's an opportunity. You get to teach the next generation how to take their thoughts captive, how to go against what the world's trying to teach them, what the world's trying to tell them. Aunts that are out there, other women in the house that are vital to help raising up our children. You speaking life, sharing your stories of breaking free from anxiety, from fear, from struggle. All of that is help teaching this next generation how to be lights in the darkness. You get to do that. So thank you to all the ladies out there. You have a power that God has given you called influence. Whether you're a mother or not, use your influence to speak life to those in your house, to those in your neighborhood, to those around you in your world, to those here in our church. Use it well, steward it well, and don't let the enemy distract you with worry and fear and anxiety because God's got you. God's got you. We certainly don't have this thing figured out. There are still days we struggle and we have to put our thoughts through that filter at Philippians 4, verse 8. We have days where we succeed and we have days where we fail. But we aren't where we were. God has been faithful to us and he will be faithful to you. We don't have to live in fear or anxiety anymore. Freedom can be ours. God is still in the business of setting his people free. And we wanted to leave you guys with some weapons in your arsenal, if you will. And those are the promises of God from Scripture. We're not going to read them slow. We're going to get through this super fast. If you want the references, I have them. You can come talk to me afterwards. But we just wanted to overload you with the promises of God, with the truth from his word. They're going to help get us from anxiety, from fear, into the peace of God. Amen? We are more than conquerors.
We know that all things work together for good.
No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind can comprehend the things God has prepared for those who love him.
God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or even imagine.
We are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed.
God's gift and his call on your life are irrevocable.
In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world.
The Lord gives us strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
When you pass through the waters, God will be with you.
No weapon formed against you will prosper.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord, neither are your ways my ways.
You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace.
God will give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future.
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
It's not by my might, not my power, but by the Spirit of God.
He brought them out of darkness and broke away their chains.
Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
And because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Would you stand with me today? His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you who is our source of peace. Lord Jesus, right now we pray for anyone here in the building, anyone watching online or listening in the parking lot that came to church today riddled with anxiety or fear. Lord, we cast that off in Jesus' name. We put it through the filter of the word of God and we choose peace. We choose to have Jesus as our source of peace. God, your word is alive and it is active today. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us as a gift to walk through the struggles of life and be more than conquerors in Christ. We pray a blessing on all of our ladies in the house, those that are watching and those that are listening in the parking lot. We pray you give them a blessed day. And come on, in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day today.